Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
Just one lady said thank you. Was that? That was you, yeah. It's going to get a little warm up here. Good. As you can see, I'm going to do a seasonal sermon today. And we were talking about it the other day, and it seems that I often get Mother's Day, and which is okay. I don't mind. There's lots of good things to say, right? And our prayer today is that the mothers here would feel loved and honored and special. Now, gentlemen, this is Mother's Day, so it is a Mother's Day sermon. But you're getting yours next week, next month, right? Okay, so that's next month. I don't mean that in a threatening way. Okay, so I'm sure whoever's. I don't think I'm speaking at it, but it will be next month. So, but with Mother's Day, there's lots of wonderful things that we can say about mothers, but. As we go through this message today, my title here is Women of Worth, or Seen, Strengthened, and Sent by God. That's the theme today. And we're going to begin, though, with reading Proverbs 31. Now, Proverbs is a book of great wisdom and good advice. And if you're ever looking for something to do in 1 month, read one chapter of Proverbs, but choose a month that has 31 days in it, right? Because there's 31 chapters. Don't choose February, just giving you that advice. But choose one when there's 31 days. And read one chapter a day. I guarantee you, you'll be blessed and encouraged. Now, Proverbs 31 it says the following. It says, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. I love that imagery. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Those are beautiful words, aren't they? And what the scriptures does is that it sets ideals, right? It sets ideals. Let's pray. God, today as we look at this passage, may you speak to each and every one of us. And Father, may the words that land in our hearts today be of value to each and every one of us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The principles applied are for all of us. But it is specific to the ladies today. And I just want to encourage you. Now, this message is for all the ladies here today, and specifically, and for us that are part of their lives as either husbands or as sons or as some relative or even friends. But my heart for each and every one of us is that as we look at these principles, may they make an entrance into our heart that is truly appreciated. Now, to begin with, Mother's Day is more than flowers and cards and family meals. It's an opportunity, right? It's an opportunity to honor women who God has used to shape our lives. Build homes, strengthen our churches, and carry burdens often unseen by others. So, as we celebrate, think about some of the ladies in your life that have been part of your life. Obviously, celebrating Mother's Day, I think of my mother, my grandmother, on both sides. I think of some of the ladies that have influenced my life, my sisters. I have three older sisters, and we're good friends, and they're good sisters. And they all know the Lord, and they have always encouraged me in the things of God. I truly can appreciate that. My own mother, obviously, and obviously I have my lovely wife, Elizabeth, who is also been a great influence in my life. But she's not my mother, right? She's my wife. But we can appreciate each individual that is part of our lives. And you could probably think about maybe an aunt or maybe someone, maybe a sibling, someone that has influenced your life. Now, today, we celebrate, and I have a list of people here, mothers, grandmothers, spiritual mothers, single mothers, widows, women longing to be mothers, women who nurture, that teach, encourage, and mothers who serve. And so I wanted to build into this sermon many of you that would find yourself in this category, because not all women are mothers. This is the second time I've spoken the sermon, but I was thinking earlier of a lady who is a friend of the family's, and she was there when I was born down in Chile in South America. Her name is Ann Reed. Ann's about 89 years of age, and she's a missionary in Chile, and she's been there since 1963, a long time. And she came to Chile to serve following what my parents had done. She came to Chile to serve, and she stayed with us for the first little while and helped my mom while I was born and had my three older sisters. And so she was a great help. This woman has never married. She has taught Sunday school, daily vacation Bible school, and anytime there was a break, she had, you know, week-long Bible schools, and one in the morning, one in the evening, run around the town that she lives in. And if you go out with her at any moment, it will invariably, 3, 4, 5, maybe up to 10, 11 people will say, "Hey, Auntie Anita, Tia Anita," and they'll wave at her. And you just say to her, "Do you know who that is?" She goes, "I have no clue." But she said, "I've been teaching these classes for, you know, 50, 60 years. She's touched the lives of many. Never a mother, but she has influenced the lives of many. Many have become followers of Christ. Many have gotten saved through her ministry. And it really is an example. That when I often think of a woman who truly has shown a great ability to reach people through her ministry, through her life. And that's just touching the tip of the iceberg. But we realize that not every woman's story is easy. You know, maybe today you come rejoicing, maybe you come grieving. Maybe you come exhausted. At Peace Evangelical Church, we have had probably, I'm going to say safely, about 10 children that have been born in the last 2 years. 10 little ones. These families are exhausted. They have some of them 1 or 2 little kids, and so they're busy. Some of you have come feeling unnoticed. I hope that you don't feel unnoticed, but I realize that maybe you can feel unnoticed. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that people don't greet you. It means that maybe for all the work that you do and all the things that you do, you feel unnoticed. And I can appreciate that. But we know that the Lord, he sees women for who they are. God has always put value on women in the scriptures. We see that. We'll see that today. But God also works through women to accomplish all of his purposes. And I think that that's something that we can see through scripture. Now, if we're going to turn to Genesis, it doesn't quite get that. We're going to turn to Genesis chapter 16. And the story here is about a woman named Hagar. Now, there's a lot surrounding this story, which we're not going to get really into. But fundamentally, she is a servant to Sarah, the wife of Abraham. And that is quite small. Sorry about that. And but she was a servant. And through the way the culture worked is that she had a sexual intimate relationship with Abraham and had a child with him. Was it right? No, because Abraham and Sarah had been promised by God that they would have a child and that that would begin the nation which we know of as Israel today. But they were impatient and they went ahead and had this child. Unfortunately, this child was someone who truly did not behave well. In fact, it says there, he shall be a wild, verse 12, a wild donkey of a man, his hand against everyone. And everyone's hand against him. What we would know is Ishmael is the father, the patriarch of the Arab nations today. It's really something, isn't it? With the conflicts that we see historically, and especially even now, we see this conflict between the nation of Israel and so many other nations surrounding them that have a hatred for them. This is the beginning of it. But what do we see in Hagar? Well, she's fleeing her mistress, as it says in the beginning there, and God says to her, the angel of the Lord says, return to your mistress and submit to her, in verse 9. The angel of the Lord also said to her, I will surely multiply your offspring so they cannot be numbered, for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said to her, you are pregnant, you'll bear a son, and his name will be Ishmael. And because the Lord has listened to your affliction. We've already mentioned what kind of a person he would be. But what does she answer? So she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, verse 13 at the bottom, you are a God of seeing. You are a God of seeing. For she said, truly here I have seen him who looks after me. Regardless of the surrounding circumstances about Hagar and the child that she had, what do we see in what God did? He was the God who saw her. It was the God who saw her. So, as we appreciate Hagar here, she's the forgotten woman. In Genesis 16, we see how she was abandoned, mistreated in the wilderness, and God came to her, and she called him the God who sees me. The God who sees me. Let me say to you that God sees you. He sees what? The tears when no one else notices. The prayers that you may whisper late at night. The sacrifices that are hidden from public view. God sees that. I hope that when you leave today, you will be encouraged, dear ladies, from this. Now, many women spend their lives pouring into others while receiving little recognition. That often happens. And, you know, some of you are recipients of that. Some of you have seen God move in ways in your life, and I often think of some of those big, tall, massive NBA players or big football players in the United States, and all often from African American families where some of the fathers have abandoned them, and sadly to say, some of these guys, you know, they've. But what do? They honor their mothers. They say, my mother sacrificed so much so I could be here. And I want to give so much to her. It is always an amazing thing that I see these big, burly, 7-foot men, you know, 6'11". They say, my mother, she had a faith, she had a love, and she taught me right. Many, many women spend their lives pouring into others. Now, what I want to look at now, though, is that heaven notices every act of love. Jesus said in his word, in Matthew 6 and verse 4, he says, "Your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Now, here's some encouragement for you. You may feel overlooked, tired, underappreciated, stretched thin, but God has not forgotten you. Be encouraged. Now, as we think about the next thing is that God gives women strength for every season. What does that mean? Every season. Every season of life, God gives you strength. Proverbs 31, it says there, "She is clothed with strength and dignity." You know, you can't get onto your computer and order from Amazon strength and dignity. You can't go to the mall to Aritzia and buy some strength and dignity. You might get a nice piece of clothing that might make you feel like you've got dignity. You know, or maybe you're going to wear one of those power suits. I don't know. I don't even know what I'm talking about. But what I'm saying is that strength and dignity is not found in something that you purchase. It's not something that is found in you know, taking some class that empowers you or you know, jiu-jitsu or whatever it is. It's about the value that the Word of God gives you. The strength is found in the presence of God. We were going to talk a little bit about that. How is that found? Now, it says there that is strength and dignity. What it does note there though, is that it says it does not say life is easy. It doesn't say that life is going to be easy to go through. It says that a woman who truly trusts the Lord, as it says, is clothed with strength and dignity. And to get the context, in strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. Okay. What that list of things, and if you look at that chapter, you realize how God gives the grace to go through any given situation. That's what God's strength and God's dignity give someone. Today, we live in a world there that we don't have to go far on social media to see crassness, to see people acting out in ways that does not dignify them. Language that's used, clothing that's worn. All those things that cheapen the character of an individual. And sadly to say, those are the things that are promoted. Those are the things that people say, well, this will give you the value that you're searching for. And God says something different. He says, a woman who fears the Lord, a woman who truly seeks after him. Now, many of the biblical women, they endured a hardship, they endured a lot of loss, they endured uncertainty, even opposition, yet God sustained them. And so as we think about one woman, we think about Hannah. Hannah is found in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verses 12 to 18. Let's read that. Hannah was a woman who, before I read, had a sister wife, I suppose you could say. She was married. They were all married to this man named Elimelech, and she was loved by her husband, but he did have another wife. It was part of the custom of the day. It's not that the Bible was promoting that. That was the way that things worked in those days. It wasn't always the best idea, nor was it sanctioned by God 100% in that way. What it is the culture of the day was like that. And so what we see is that the one wife, she had a lot of children, while Hannah had no children whatsoever. And she was anguished about this. And And so she goes, as they go, used to go up every year to pray, and they used to go up and do their offerings in a place called Shiloh, and she goes, and she continued praying, at verse 12 says, before the Lord. And so she's going to the right source. But Eli there, he observed her mouth, and he assumed, and it says she was speaking in her heart. Only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. So he assumed that she was a drunken woman. And he said to her, how long will you continue to be drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered, no, my Lord, I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation. Then Eli answered, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him. And she said, let your servant find favor in your eyes. Then the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. So what we see is that she goes and she takes it to the Lord. What can we observe here? Well, it's strength through prayer. Hannah carried deep sorrow and disappointment in her heart. Yet instead of becoming bitter, she brought her pain to God. Her prayers became powerful. She prayed to God for this. And some of the strongest women are not the loudest women. We have a society that kind of promotes that. Oh, the strong woman is the real loud one. No, it's not. It's really the woman that prays. Women who intercede for their children, pray for marriages, carry families forward, remain faithful in difficult seasons. We should never underestimate the power of a praying woman. Never underestimate. And we see that in Hannah. She prayed, God answered her prayer. What was the result? This boy named Samuel, whom she gave back to God. And he became a true man of God that walked Israel through very difficult times. And you know what's interesting? He was the last judge of Israel. And what's interesting with him, or with her, is that subsequently she was able to have many more children. God blessed her and kept blessing her. We see that very clearly in the scripture. Now, we can also think about the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus elevated and honored women. In the culture of the day of the Lord Jesus, women were often marginalized. Yet the Lord Jesus consistently honored them. How did he do this? Well, he spoke publicly with women. He healed women. He taught women. He welcomed women as disciples. I'm not talking about the 12 disciples. I'm talking about that surrounded. They served. They were part of his entourage. He entrusted women with the news of his resurrection. The women at the tomb. All four gospels mention about the fact that it was the women that came and discovered that he was not there. After the resurrection, we see that the women were first witnesses to the risen Christ. And so this proclamation that he was no longer there was entrusted to them. Jesus didn't diminish them. He dignified women. How do we see that? Well, I think about the story of Mary and Martha, how he ministered to these women and he addressed the issues that were going on in their lives. When their brother died, he came and he comforted them and he helped them through that. He said to them, I am the resurrection and the life. He said things that were very poignant in that time. And we see that even at the cross, where the Lord Jesus Christ, he is on the cross and he speaks to his mother. And he says, behold your son, talking about his disciple John. He speaks to John, he says, behold your mother. He had interest and care over his mother even to the final moment. Christianity at its core elevates the worth of women and the value of women. Because every woman bears the image of God. Now, also, women shape generations. There's a little saying I have up here. One faithful woman can change an entire family line. There's lots of examples in the scriptures, and we're going to take a look at one, but there's one that often is one that I think of. There was a woman years ago, back when, you know, children were scrubbed and cleaned in a little tub, and this woman, every day, she would sing hymns, and she would pray and pour her heart out to the Lord over this child that she was bathing. Later on, as a teenager, this boy became a believer and a follower of Christ. And then he became one of the greatest evangelists that we know of today, and that is Billy Graham. It was his mother. Her prayer, her care, her attention shaped this young man. Now, Paul told Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, he says this. He says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. Their faith shaped a young man who would influence the church. So we never should underestimate bedtime prayers, words of encouragement, scripture taught at home, faithful example, and quiet consistency. Never underestimate those things. How does the world measure a woman? By fame, often. But God often measures influence by faithfulness. Some women may never stand behind a pulpit or on a stage, yet through love, prayer, and wisdom, and true godliness, they can shape the eternal future of a young child. So we want to encourage you as mothers, as maybe close sisters in Christ. It's not necessarily, it could be any woman, whether it's through Sunday school teaching or whether it's through influence of a niece or a nephew, young people in your lives. Think back about this woman that I told you about. She's still alive, Ann Reed, and she's known in her town. I mean, she is famous because of the work that she does. And I'll tell you, she wouldn't even think about that. She's that. For her, it's got eternal value, but she's shaped so many generations. Now, as we think about this, the gospel also gives true identity. Motherhood is honorable, but a woman's ultimate identity is not found merely in a marital status or what you look like, what your appearance is, or your career, your accomplishments, or even motherhood itself. A woman's greatest identity is being a beloved daughter of God. Are you born again? Are you saved? Are you a Christian? That will give you the greatest point of identity in your life before a holy God. Now, at the cross, Jesus demonstrated the value he places on every soul. The gospel, it tells every woman, you are loved, you are wanted, you are redeemed, you are precious to God. Now, for those who are weary today, Christ offers you rest. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your soul. And that's what the Lord Jesus in Matthew 11 and 28 says very clearly. Even those who are carrying regrets, Christ offers you his grace. Maybe you're feeling empty. Christ offers living water. Think of the Samaritan woman. She came with regret. She came with emptiness in her heart and life. And Jesus spoke to her. When he wasn't supposed to speak to a Samaritan woman above all. And yet he spoke to her very heart. And he encouraged her. And he said, I offer you living water. I offer you eternal life. Jesus consistently offered that. And even today, he's offering that to everyone. Now, as we close, today we celebrate women not because they are perfect, but because God's grace shines through their faithfulness. And so, to every woman that's here today, I want to say this. Your labor matters. Your prayers matter. Your faith matters and your example matters. Don't ever think it doesn't matter. And above all, you matter to God. Now, the closing challenge is for three different groups here. First of all, to the women here today, continue walking faithfully with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not a believer, you can start today. You can repent of your sin and say, I need you, God. I confess my sins and I ask you to come and live and make my life different. Transform me. Give me that sense of identity and security that's found only in a living relationship with you. Continue walking faithfully with Christ. Believe in him. Trust in him. Because the seeds you plant today can shape and bear fruit in future generations. That's the great part about what parenthood can do. Today we're focusing on women, but it also applies for us as men. Now, I want to speak to the families. Speak gratitude openly with regard to the women in our lives, the mothers. Honor the women that God has placed in your life. And to everyone, we need to look to Jesus, who alone gives lasting hope. He gives identity, he gives strength to face the things of today, and most of all, he offers salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are some words that I wanted to speak today with regard to mothers. And on this Mother's Day in 2026, once again, we're reminded of what God desires for our lives. He gives us these principles. He gives us these examples of Hagar. She says, the God who sees me. We think of Hannah, the woman of true prayer. We think of Lois and Eunice, who helped shape the life of a young man and taught him the gospel. And he became one of the great influencers of the early church. And then there's you. And I know that many of you have influenced your families and are influencing your families as we speak. And I hope that this encourages you to keep going on. And as we close, I'm going to put up a closing prayer up on the screen. I'm going to pray, but I want you to take this prayer and apply it to yourself. Apply it to your family, and that God would be glorified. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you again for the Lord Jesus who gave his life so that we could be forgiven and have life in you. We praise you and we worship you. Thank you for each person that's here today. We think of those that could make it. Watch over each one for good. And today, Lord, we celebrate mothers and we just thank you for the influences in our lives. And Lord, those living with some fears, maybe regrets, or maybe looking back and wondering, thinking, how could I be different? May they turn the page and become what you want them to be today. May we not rationalize by the environment around us, but may we make the choices that would make a change for good and for what is right. And so, Lord, we thank you for the women you have placed in our lives. We ask you to strengthen those who are weary, comfort those who may be grieving, or maybe they need encouragement, those who feel unseen. We ask your blessing upon those who faithfully serve others. And Lord, may every woman here know her worth is found not in the world's approval, but in your love through the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask all this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.